Before I preach, just invite those who can't see this middle part of the church to move, because I'm going to put a screen there, and there's some images I'd love for you to read. So if you're not in a position to see, I just encourage you to move to a different part of the church to see better. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we reflect on these words from Mark's Gospel, help us to understand more deeply what it means to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and to follow you. Amen. So you may recognise some of these speech bubbles on the screen from songs or TV adverts or maybe on social media. You're worth it. If it makes you happy, look out for number one. More, more, more. And words like this can trick us into thinking that the way to happiness is found through possessions, through power, and through pursuing pleasure. But none of these will ultimately satisfy. In fact, when pleasure, possessions, and power become our gods, we actually become less satisfied. We become more selfish. And instead, we just want more, more, more. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. So what does it mean to deny yourself? Does it mean no alcohol, no ice cream, no chocolate, and instead drinking these homemade juice drinks that are green? That is not what Jesus is saying here. Although often we might think of that, especially during Lent. Actually, what it means is saying no to our own selves, which is what Tom Wright, a former bishop, wrote. Saying no to your own selves, that's how he would translate it from the Greek. So denying yourself is not about asceticism. It's not about kind of getting rid of everything and living this kind of really simple life. It's not about going without alcohol or ice cream or chocolate. It's not about hiding off to some cave in the middle of nowhere, like the old desert fathers and mothers used to do. That's not what denying ourselves is about. Instead, it's about disowning ourselves. The Greek verb aponeomai could be translated as to disown. And it's the same verb that's used in Mark chapter 14 when Peter disowns Jesus, says, I don't know this man. So the attitude that was called for is where self-interest and personal desires are no longer central in our lives. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you must renounce yourself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, wrote these words. The disciple must say to himself the same words Peter said of Christ when he denied him. I know not this man. Self-denial is never just a series of isolated acts of mortification or asceticism. It's not suicide, for there is an element of self-will even in that. To deny oneself is to be aware only of Christ and know more of self. To see only him who goes before and no more the road which is too hard for us. Once more, all that self-denial can say is, he leads the way. Keep close to him. When Jesus said, take up your cross, he said some other things just before it. In verse 31, he was teaching his disciples that the Son of Man another name that Jesus used to describe himself, must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, the law, the Pharisees, and that he's going to get killed. And we know on a cross, and after 3 days, he would rise again. When Peter hears these words, he is furious. What are you talking about, Jesus? That's not the plan for the Messiah. Surely not. That's not how victory is going to be won. But Jesus knows God's plan. He knows the cross is part of God's plan. He knows the cross is the way to salvation so that we can have eternal life, that we can have forgiveness of sin, how we can overcome death. It's all through the cross. So he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, accuser." Quite strong words, but actually Jesus had to correct Peter strongly. Back in the early days, when the disciples were hearing these words, taking up your cross meant the practice of a condemned person having to carry their own cross upon which they were going to be crucified. Death by crucifixion was a Roman means of execution by state authorities, particularly which was used for Jewish rebels around the time of Jesus. Harry Hurtado, in his commentary on Mark, said, "When Mark's first readers read these words, they could have understood them only as a warning that discipleship might mean execution. The cross was not just an indication of possible death for the disciples, it was a warning of execution by the state authorities. Thus, in the same way that Jesus' ministry led him to a collision with both the Jewish and Roman authorities, the disciples and readers are warned to be prepared for the same sort of trouble." And we know when we read the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened. The disciples, when they went out and they told people about Jesus and they healed and they proclaimed the good news, they were persecuted. They were thrown in prison. They were beaten up. And sadly, some of them were also killed. And actually, in parts of the world today, this still happens for some Christians, particularly in Muslim countries and some Hindu countries, around the 1040 window stretching from Northern Africa to the Middle East, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, China, that kind of area. Particularly Christians face persecution, but in other parts too. Now, we are blessed that we don't face persecution in this way. But we might still get, we still might have people make fun of us because we are Christians. But also, we still might have to make some sacrifices in our lives. When I chose to work for the church, and others who have followed in that footsteps, or they've worked for a charity, we've making choices to actually forego a kind of bigger income that we could have had if we'd done the same job in a different sector. Sometimes our sacrifice might be to pray for somebody who's in need, even though we don't really like praying out loud and it feels a bit uncomfortable and embarrassing. Or there may be some other sacrifices you've had to make for your faith. Bonhoeffer again says these words, "The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man, which is the result of his encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give ourselves our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man or a woman, he bids them to come and die." This is what taking up your cross means. So, taking up your cross is not something like, that's my cross to bear. It's not some burden that we have to carry, a strained relationship, thankless job, physical illness. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. What he's talking about is absolute surrender, giving everything over to Jesus, all areas of our life, surrendering that before him. giving up our ambitions to follow Jesus. And although the call is tough, the rewards are unending. Jesus says, "For if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." When I was 17, I made a choice to deny myself, to give up my old life, and to take up the cross and to follow Jesus. And I can honestly say it's the best thing that I've ever done. It doesn't mean that life's been perfect since then. I've had my ups and my downs, but I've had Jesus with me the whole time and able to come to him for help. And when we make that choice to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow Jesus, he's with us and he will help us get through anything. So we deny ourselves, we take up our cross, and we follow Jesus. Morna Hooker's commentary on Mark says, "Discipleship means following in the same path and being ready to share in the same fate as the one who leads. Those who want to follow Jesus must follow him even when he's carrying a cross." Following Jesus means recognizing that we don't know what is best for us. Saying yes to Jesus and no to the things that cause us harm and cause others harm. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is about walking in his footsteps, doing the things that he came to do, to love God, to love our neighbours as ourselves, to go and make disciples, to share the good news and show the good news of Jesus. That's what it means to follow Jesus. But being Christian isn't always easy, but it is the best life. It's also a life where Jesus is with us through the whole journey, carrying our burdens with us, sparing the load, leading the way, speaking to us and guiding us. We don't have to face the challenges of life alone. We can have God's Holy Spirit living in us. So my question to you today is, are you following Jesus? Or maybe you're following someone else. Maybe we have decided to follow Jesus, or we did at some point, but we've wandered off, we've got distracted. And that happens as stuff happens in life and we get our priorities wrong and our focus can shift. But Jesus actually says to us, come, follow him. And the good news is that there's always a way back. Whenever we've wandered off, there's always a way back to Jesus. And that is through repentance. That is about turning away from sin and the things of the world and turning to Christ, turning back to Jesus. We say sorry for the things we've done wrong. We ask his forgiveness and we receive his forgiveness. And he also promises to give us his Holy Spirit. And so we can ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, to be with us, to lead our lives. Hand over the steering wheel to him. So today, are you ready to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow Jesus? In a moment, we're going to have some quiet prayer. I'm going to ask Noel to play some music quietly on the keyboard. And in that time, you might want to reflect on these words. And then after that, I'm going to give us an opportunity for those who wish to make a recommitment to follow Jesus. And it's going to be based on the baptism vows, confirmation vows that you may have made. Or if you've never made those vows and you want to follow Jesus for the first time, you can also do that today. It'll be about rejecting the devil and all rebellion against God, renouncing evil, repenting of our sins, turning to Jesus, submitting to Jesus, coming to Jesus, and choosing to follow him every day. So as we go into our time of silence, Holy Spirit, will you come and speak to us now as we wait on you? Let's close our eyes.